Back with more of our panel discussion in front of a studio audience at Water and Wisconsin on Lake Effect. We're talking about the potential of the food economy with Shelley Jurowitz of the Milwaukee 7, Nick George of the Midwest Food Processors Association, Paul Dittman of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and Jack Belke of Milwaukee-based Clemens Sausages. We have talked about the expansions that are happening out there. You can't look around without either seeing or hearing about an expansion. There's the $12 million expansion, Sargento just announced in Plymouth today. Palermo's Pizza in the Menominee Valley continues to grow. Besides the fact that people always need to eat, what's going on here? Why are companies growing in this? Are there other factors besides just the fact that people have to eat? What's allowing this expansion to go on right now?
Well, I think that companies are positioning themselves for the future. And what each company is looking at is you kind of have a perfect storm out there. Shelley was right when she said that. Food companies have pretty much weathered the storm better than most. Not a perfect situation, but better than most. And I think you're looking at very low interest rates. The state of Wisconsin has been very supportive in terms of helping companies expand. In fact, we're in the middle of an expansion ourselves. And I think the availability of cheap money, looking in the future and the technology that's out there, I just mentioned to Shelley, there, all of us in the manufacturing side of the business, there's new technology out there that's just, from efficiency standpoint, can make you world-class. And I think that's what everybody's looking at, and I think that's why people are taking the dollars. You hear a lot of companies hoarding dollars, and we're putting those to use.
Nick George, I want to get your take on this. I mean, this is an election year, so we heard a lot of rhetoric over the past however many months about what Wisconsin is or could be doing to attract and retain businesses. What is the climate like for food processors? Is it a time when companies in Wisconsin are likely to stay in Wisconsin?
Yeah, we have a lot of things going for us here in the state. We have a great labor force. We got the infrastructure. The infrastructure is set up, you know, what Jack was just saying about it's a good time to build up. He's absolutely right. You know, in the vegetable industry, for example, Wisconsin is the second highest producer of processed vegetables in the nation. A lot of those factories and machines are old. I know that in the last couple of years, our folks took the opportunity, the lower interest rate on the money and whatnot, and the fact that they were doing okay, to replace a lot of the machinery. Now, you're talking about big cookers, stainless steel, you know, and here, this is Wisconsin. You know, we've got tool and die, we got a tool and die industry, we got a huge manufacturing industry, and it's been pretty good. I just think that, you know, one of the things that we did recently, and I think it's starting to kick in, is the state of Wisconsin enacted a tax credit for food processors to upgrade machinery facilities and also for food warehouses. That's been a real nice thing. It worked well for the meat industry, it worked well for the dairy industry, and now all food processors can take advantage of it, and that's a real feather in our cap.
Paul Dittman, did you want to add to that? Because you're on the government side of the equation.
That's right. And as Nick mentioned, the tax credits that have been put in place over the last 8 years or so have all been targeted towards capital investment and job creation. And I think we're seeing that now, even though I think a lot of it gets lost in the bad news in the recession. We've lost 160-some thousand jobs in the state of Wisconsin. But the food processing side of the industry is adding jobs. So we've had those tax credits. We have a next generation farmer tax credit that goes into place in 2011 to try to encourage people who own dairy production assets and livestock production assets to lease those assets to the next generation of farmers and hopefully foster the next generation coming up.
How strong is the next generation of farmers? Are people going into farming today?
We still do see some people going into farming. On the dairy side, there was a lot of interest in the mid-2000s. It's tailed off in 2009 just because of the economic situation. And in reality, now would be the great time to get started in dairy production because cows are cheap, interest is cheap. There's money available through the Farm Service Agency Beginning Farmer Loan Program. We have this new tax credit program going into place in 2011. So there's a lot of good opportunities. On the food side, we're seeing kind of a split. We've got some young people who are really interested in local foods and in producing for community-supported agriculture for fresh market sales. We also are seeing more people who are late career. Maybe they're retiring from another occupation. They're buying a farm, and farming is going to be their retirement income. And they're coming in from a whole different perspective. They're coming in with money to put down on a farm, whereas the beginning farmers are leveraging things, putting a lot of sweat equity into their operations.
And if I could add, we're actually part of my job is attracting businesses here to the Milwaukee region, and I've got five live projects right now that I'm working on of businesses looking to locate an operation here, two of which are international. And what we're pitching to them, the value proposition that we've put together, includes our food ingredient strength, you know, whether it's what we're growing or what we're making, which we were just talking about earlier. Nick had talked about the workforce that we have here. We have nearly double the concentration of workers in this industry across the nation. So that's a real strength. We're number one for water, and a lot of food manufacturers are using water, so that's a great value to put forth when businesses are looking to locate here. Our organic production, as folks are looking for more functional, healthful foods, is a real sweet spot for us. So when you start to bundle all that together, our central location, being in the Midwest, the consumer market that we have here, that comes together to a really powerful package when businesses are looking to expand in the Midwest, and why not pick Wisconsin, or for our sake, Southeast Wisconsin.
Nick George?
Yeah, I'd like to just build on that. Shelley hit on a real strong theme. I just came back from a seminar that the EPA put on down in Chicago on water safety and water security. Bottom line is that we've got water. We've got a lot of water, and that is so instrumental in this whole industry. You know, we use water to cook, boil, heat, sanitize, steam, you know, you name it, and we use it, and we have it here. And so that's a real asset. We have other assets, natural assets, such as weather. You know, a lot of people think, you know, we have cruddy winters, you know, and that's terrible. Well, from the vegetable side of things, that's a good thing, you know, because it kills a lot of pests. It kills a lot of stuff naturally. You don't have to use as much pesticides and such. So there's a lot of pluses about just our sheer location, you know. So it's good.
Well, we've talked a lot about economic climate, but physical climate, you would contend that we're not limited by. I mean, obviously, there's a huge amount of produce that's being grown in places like California and Arizona and other parts of the Southwest because they have sunshine, but they don't have a lot of water. So Right. Are we limited at all by our climate?
Well, you know, we can't grow oranges. We'll leave that to Florida. You know, that's fine. That's fine. But we can grow green beans, and we can grow cabbage, and we can grow carrots, and we can grow a lot of stuff that they don't want to do down there. So, and you know, you didn't mention sauerkraut. Come on now. There's no state that puts out more sauerkraut than Wisconsin. I mean, there are countries that don't put out as much sauerkraut as Wisconsin.
I was going to leave it to our brat guy to bring up the sauerkraut.
That is a perfect segue into the sausage side of the business right there. I would support these statements by just saying that in our particular circumstance, we are able to source virtually everything that we need locally. And there's such an infrastructure here in Wisconsin throughout the entire side of the food business that, you know, we don't have to truck things across the country. You know, from a sustainability standpoint, from a green standpoint, a lot of the companies are qualifying for some of the various standards out there that are becoming globally recognized. And I think that's a real key to just how long Wisconsin has been a key player in food production.
If I could just add to that, Nick and I were talking earlier about this real strength we just have on the equipment, the packaging materials that go into food manufacturing, and I think that's something that we can't understate as well.
This is almost all unquestionably positive news, but there must be challenges out there. Let me ask you, Jack Belke, what is the biggest roadblock in your way to you know, being the sausage king of the universe, if you will?
Our biggest concern, frankly, long term, is the availability of raw materials. I mentioned earlier that because of the weak dollar and because the current administration, because there was a lot of challenges with beef producers and pork producers and poultry, the sales weren't there. They weren't making money. A lot of people going out of business in that sector. The initial processing side of it. And what happened was we opened up a lot of economies to exports. As I mentioned, meat exports are up. They're 200% of a year ago in beef. Pork is double. Poultry is up. So we look at it and say, what about the local supplier? When is it going to get to the point where the availability, and actually the number of animals in the marketplace has declined drastically, mainly because they've gone overseas. So I think without without a good supply of animals, a lot of the processors, not just us, but a lot of the processors are going to be challenged competitive.
You're saying you're competing to get these, to get what goes into the sausages with places elsewhere in the world that are willing to pay more.
Our raw materials have, on the pork side, doubled plus 40. On the beef side, they're up about 40% over a year ago, and the consumer just has not seen that at the grocery store. So it's the retailers are making less, the processors are making less, and I think it shows out there. So that's our primary concern at this point.
Now, George, what are the primary concerns of food processors?
When I ask my members what keeps them up at night, it's cost controls. How do you control your costs? Because there's a lot of those things that are just out of your control. Raw products costs, energy costs. Food processors are the second highest users of energy in this state, behind the cast metals industry. So we're big users of energy, big users of water. Water, of course, takes lots of energy to run that. So it's really cost controls. And then it's also regulatory pressures. As I think Jack had said earlier, you know, the industry is heavily regulated, and that's fine. It's all part of doing business. And you sort of you welcome that because food safety is really the number one issue. You know, it's got to be safe, all right? But sometimes it gets redundant. Sometimes it gets a little too wild. And so that's something that we're always keeping an eye on.
Shelley Jurwitz, what are the when you're reaching out and trying to get businesses to relocate or open up shop here, what are the concerns that they're raising? What are the reasons that they don't come here?
Well, we haven't quite got that far, which is unfortunate. We had the opportunity to sit down with site selectors back in August, and site selectors are the professionals that businesses hire to help them decide where they're going to expand their operation. And we gave them our layout of what we were targeting for job growth here in the region. And they heard power automation control, thumbs up, that's great. Water technology, fabulous, great place to be. Food and beverage, good luck with that. And it wasn't because we didn't have the assets. It's because people don't know we have the assets. So they strongly encouraged, after we laid out our value proposition, yes, play in this space, get to the table, but you've got to find your way to get yourself up to that top of the list so that site selectors and companies from around the world know that this is a great place to be doing business, in particular if you're a food manufacturer.
Well, let me ask you what might be a difficult question. We've paid a lot of attention in the last couple years here to the water industry. Are we hitching our wagon to the wrong star? Or should we be elevating food and beverage above this nascent water industry that people don't really know that much about yet?
I think it goes hand in hand. I think the difficulty with the water industry is that it's not technically its own SIC code or NICS code. So for a while there, it was tough for folks to grasp how can you go after water when it's not an industry per se. But the site selectors were just gaga over it. They heard the presentation. They got it. Now with food, we're working very closely with the Water Council, hand in hand with them, because we obviously see when it comes to water users, the food manufacturers are some of the highest users. So we don't work independently of each other, and we're very supportive of the wave rate that the Water Council is working to get passed so that if you are looking to expand here in the Milwaukee region, that we can do even more to make it a cost-competitive equation for you by giving you some breaks on your water rates.
Who are southeastern Wisconsin and Wisconsin in general? Who are our chief competitors when it comes to creating or harnessing this industry? Where, if a company is going to open up shop or expand and it doesn't choose Wisconsin, where is it choosing?
Well, Building Site Magazine just did a release earlier this year, and they gave their top five regions for growth in the food industry across the country. Sioux City, Iowa being number one, I'm not surprising. Genesee, Livingston counties in New York, Omaha, Nebraska, probably not surprising with that one. Fresno, California, and Covington, Georgia were the top five. Wisconsin, Milwaukee was not even on that list again. So our job is to get on the radar screen with those other regions across the country so that we are being considered for a potential expansion.
Nick George, as someone who represents food processors, do you also try to attract, are you involved in trying to attract more people to your realm?
I'm not very much directly involved in that. I'm very much involved in trying to keep folks here by getting the legislature to not do something that's harmful, and by working with guys like Paul and other agency folks to make sure that regulations come out decent. But you know what? I was surprised that Wisconsin wasn't on the list because, you know, we got a lot of stuff going on here. The food industry is a quiet industry. We tend to stick to our knitting, do a job, get it done, do the right thing, and feel sorry for those companies that aren't here.
Paul, what role does your office play in reaching out to places beyond Wisconsin?
Well, our agency has kind of an interesting role because we're a regulatory agency, we've got a consumer protection function, and yet we're also an economic development agency. So we are trying to attract businesses from other parts of the country to come here or even from other parts of the world. On the farm side, we've seen people coming from the Netherlands and buying land in Wisconsin and building farm operations. We've seen people relocating from Nebraska, from California, from some of the other parts of the country where milk production has been increasing. Now, as some of the other folks have mentioned, water is going to be a limiting factor as we go forward. I heard a speaker the other day talking about by the year 2050, the population of the world will be 9 billion people. We're going to have to double food production in the world and do it without using any more water and without using any more energy than we're using right now. So that puts us in Wisconsin in a much better competitive position, and whether we show up on a list or not, we're there.
I think one of the things, if I could add to this, that we're doing, and I think we're getting some traction out of it, is we're actually convening the CEOs of our food and beverage manufacturers, and there's a real willingness for that level and those players to come together to play an active role in not only making sure that this is a great place for their businesses to expand, but they want to play an active role in helping us attract businesses to the region.
We're going to take one more break, and then we will come back with the rest of our discussion of Wisconsin's food-related economy on a Lake Effect special from WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. It's Project Milwaukee, What's on Our Plates?